This book is dedicated to my mom, the kindest person on the planet.
What he should have done is sent him back.
Were you worried about him during that siege? Were you worried about his safety?
No, I thought he was well protected, and I had heard that he was in good shape. Mm-hmm. No, because I had heard he was in very good shape. But no,
you heard those chants. That was terrible. I mean,
he could have. Well, the people were very angry.
They're saying, "Hang Mike."
Because it's common sense, John. It's common sense.
The interview, I was told, would happen right there in the middle of the lobby, a room with two enormous crystal chandeliers hanging from a towering gold ceiling, the ornate and glittering space that once served as the living room for Marjorie Meriwether Post, the heiress who built the place. Before long, Donald Trump arrived, wearing a suit and a tie. He ordered a Diet Coke and got right down to business, not waiting for my questions. "You know, we are putting out releases," he said. "These releases are much more elegant than Twitter. We are really getting the word out." The former leader of the free world, who had been banned by Twitter and every other major social media platform for spreading disinformation, had discovered a more effective way of communicating: the press release. As the interview went on, members of Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club began to arrive for drinks and dinner on the patio outside, each one of them passing right by us, each one of them seeing him being interviewed. He could have talked to me in a private area of the club, but why would he do that? He wanted everybody to see him being interviewed, out of office, but still the center of attention. Over the next 90 minutes, I asked him about some of the darkest moments in the history of American democracy, when, for the first time, an American president refused to concede defeat, attempted to turn over an election, and inspired his most diehard supporters to stop the peaceful transfer of power. As you will see later in this book, his words were chilling, but his demeanor, cheerful. In his gilded exile, he feels abused and betrayed, convinced the darkest betrayals came from those closest to him. But in our conversation, as Donald Trump lashes out at enemies real and perceived, he seems happy, joyful, joyfully aggrieved. He's plotting a new campaign, not necessarily a political comeback, that's far-fetched, although not impossible, but a campaign to make his erstwhile friends and allies pay a price for their betrayal. All the talk of disloyalty and revenge made him so gleeful, he asked me to stick around for dinner. As I headed to the dining area outside, Trump went elsewhere, another meeting, he told me. The main patio of Mar-a-Lago overlooks the club's pool, and beyond that, the lagoon that separates Palm Beach from the Florida mainland. It's a beautiful place, half enclosed by the curved colonnade that extends from the part of the club where Trump has his private residence to the areas open to club members. As the sun went down, the tables began to fill with diners, a mostly older and enormously wealthy crowd. On this night, there were about 100 people spread out over a few dozen tables. Shortly after I began eating, I heard a few people begin clapping. The clapping, isolated at first, soon spread across the patio, turning into sustained applause. As everyone soon noticed, Donald Trump was making his way from his residence. The diners were then on their feet, giving a standing ovation for the former president as he slowly walked down the Mar-a-Lago colonnade, a structure reminiscent of the line of pillars outside the Oval Office and alongside the Rose Garden. The ovation continued until he got to the archway leading to the living room where I had interviewed him. He pointed to a few of the guests. He waved and pumped his fist and then made his way to a table just like the others, although this table had a small velvet rope around it. The applause continued until Trump took his seat. As the guests returned to their dinners, I asked one of the members how often this happens. How often does the former president stroll along the colonnade on his way to dinner as members of his club rise to their feet in rapturous applause? "Every night," he told me. "Every night." Introduction. One of the first calls I made as I watched the rioters move toward the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, was to John Kelly, the retired four-star Marine general who previously had served as President Trump's first chief of staff. More than a year before the 2020